Introduce our main speaker for this evening, Shanna S. from San Diego.
Hey, I'm Shanna. Can everyone hear me? Can you hear me over here? Wow, there's a lot of you guys in here. Who is so excited for the Super Bowl tomorrow? It's like two people. See you all tomorrow night here. I hope you guys are all having Super Bowl parties. I hope that if you're new, that you go to Super Bowl parties and have fun in recovery. Did I say I'm Shane? I'm an alcoholic? Perfect. Welcome to all the newcomers. Congratulations to everyone that took time today. 27 years to Randy. Wow, that is like huge. It's amazing to continue to see people with 27 years showing up and being of service. Thank you so much for your share. It was amazing. When I got to starting to get sober, you know, when you're young and getting sober, it's like, how am I going to have fun here, you know? I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't even know how to function without alcohol. Like, I didn't know what I was supposed to do before I went to work. I didn't know what I was supposed to do when I got home from work. I didn't know what I was supposed to do at night. I didn't know what I was supposed to do with my friends. I was like, I don't even know how to go to the beach and have fun without alcohol. Drugs were also a huge part of my story, you know. They relieved me from my alcoholism, you know, for a little bit of time until that ruined my life so bad where I was like, I'm just going to go back to alcohol. And that helped me, you know what I mean? And I was always flip-flopping between the two. It was not fun. I didn't even know how to function. I didn't even see any hope for myself. I couldn't relate to anyone who even had a year of, like, people that would take one-year tokens. I couldn't even relate to them. I could never even imagine putting a year of sobriety together, you know, that was like a miracle. I had no idea how I even had gotten through my first 30 days. I remember thinking that was the gnarliest roller coaster that I had ever been on. And you know what? When I did get to a year sober, I remember looking back on my year and thinking that was the gnarliest roller coaster I've ever been on. And you know what? I had a year sober and I actually was contemplating, like, should I just get loaded again? Should I just go drink? Everyone was standing up here, like, taking one-year tokens, talking about how their life is so great and everything is so great, and I'm just like, I am so miserable. And I didn't know why that was. You know, when I first got sober, I was so uncomfortable on the inside that I was looking to anything on the outside to make me feel okay. I got into a relationship at 45 days sober. It was the craziest relationship I had ever been in. I mean, talk about being so sick on the inside. Like, what do you think that you're going to attract, right? Like, do you think that you're going to attract someone that is like a solid man, right? Like, I probably attracted the sickest person ever and was stoked that he said he had 2 years sober. You know, I was like, that was a great job for me. I had super low self-esteem, right? I felt like a piece of shit. I couldn't even believe anyone even wanted to date me. I was getting really fat in early recovery, and I just felt like there was just no, you know, hope. There was nothing to be excited about, you know? And I'm coming to these meetings, and I'm showing up, right? And everyone just tells us, like, continue to show up. Come to the meetings, find a sponsor, get a commitment, and work the steps. And you know what? That was exactly what I was going to do. And it did suck for, you know, the beginning of my sobriety, but it got better, you know, and I continued to seek a solution that was going to work in my life. I'm going to talk a lot about God tonight because, God's mentioned in the steps a lot, so if you do have a problem with God, I hope that you have an open mind and that you're willing. I relapsed about 4 or 5 times before I got sober. I got sober on when I was 23 years old on May 27th, 2010. And you know what? My life was tough, you know, when I was young. I didn't know how to be a sister to a brother that was, like, so smart. And he was so successful. And he was just so amazing, you know? He was, like, my older brother. And my parents just loved him so much. And he was so perfect. He was athletic. He was good at every single subject in school. He was a straight-A student. He never messed up. And then it's like, I'm the youngest kid, and I really didn't know how to live from an early age. And, like, ever since I was a little kid, I was really good at stealing. You know what I mean? I was really good at stealing my parents' alcohol and drinking it, you know? I have pictures of when I was a little kid, like, drunk in the corner, and my parents thought it was funny. And I thought I was smart. Like, if I just drink the neck of the bottle, my dad's not going to know that I even drank it. And I always did that. I would steal from the liquor stores. I would just steal dumb stuff all the time. I don't know why. I would rip off my neighbors. I crashed my mom's car at a really early age into our neighbor's house. I was like a straight C and D student, you know? Like, I think that, you know, my best plan for succeeding in school and not getting in trouble was after fifth grade, I promised myself that I was going to forge my mom's signature on every document that came that the, you know, that the school needed, and I forged every single signature so that when I got a D report card and they told me to go home and get it signed by my mom, that I would just forge the signature, you know, and it would match every single signature. I was a master manipulator. I was an amazing liar. I was an amazing cheater. I was an amazing stealer. And I needed all of those things, you know. When I was drinking and using all of that stuff, those were my greatest assets, you know. And the reality is I wasn't going to walk into recovery and think that I was just going to leave all that stuff at the door, you know. I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop cheating. I'm going to be the girlfriend that I'm supposed to be, the daughter I'm supposed to be. I'm going to stop stealing from work. I'm going to stop cheating on my tests and making up some huge, huge lie, obviously, because our lies as addicts and alcoholics are just so, like, extravagant. It's, like, retarded. You know what I mean? And it's sick. And that's how I always, like, know someone's, like, lying to me. I'm like, man, that was just, it was so extreme. The lie was so just, whoa, you know? And I used to do that. I used to lie like that, you know? 'Cause, yeah, you know what? It helped me when I got pulled over into secondary, you know, and Border Patrol wanted to search my car. And there was a lot of shit to be found in my car. And there's dogs all around me, right? It helped me at that time to be a master manipulator, and I needed to be focused, and I needed to be under control, and I needed to get myself out of that situation, right? Like, because everyone knows where I was about to go. I would, like, pull up into secondary, and I mean, not secondary. I would pull up to the border check, and they would show you all of the drugs that were confiscated, you know? And I was like, oh, man, I wonder if I should hide the drugs now. Oh, no, it's cool. They won't, like, pull me over. I used all that. And you know what? I got out. I got out of that situation. And I got out of a lot of situations. But coming into recovery, like, that wasn't just going to be enough for me, you know? Like, how was I supposed to change? Like, do you think that I wanted to constantly hurt my parents and be, like, the worst kid on the block? Do you know how many, like, parent meetings my neighbors had because I was such a troublemaker, you know? And all of the trouble went down at my house, too, you know? I would, like, round up the troops. And, like, just, you know, we were doing bad things, but it was just, like, I was really good at rounding people up to get into trouble with me. And I was really good at rounding people up to get in trouble with me drinking and using, right? And today I'm really good at rounding people up and showing them a new way of life, that I can stay sober, that I have a solution, you know? I never wanted to hurt my family the way that I did. not talk to them forever. Like, my family became useless. When their resources got cut off for me, they were useless to me. And my friends, when their resources got cut off to me, we did not need to be friends. And if you couldn't hang and drink like me, then we didn't need to be friends. You know, like, I don't need to be hanging out with someone whose life is better than me. So I surrounded myself with a bunch of people whose lives sucked, you know? And I would constantly, like, round up these, like, super, you know, crappy people, and, like, I just wasn't as bad as them, you know? And that was enough for me, and that was okay. And I got sober, finally, you know, and I'm so grateful. And I didn't pick my sobriety date, right? I picked many a dates to get sober, and let me tell you, those dates did not play through very well. It was literally by the grace of God that he chose for me to be sober on this day, that he had a different plan for me. My life has changed dramatically. I continue to show up to meetings. I continue to work with my sponsor. I continue to sponsor other women. And I continue to practice these principles in all of my affairs. And I was worried, you know, that sobriety wasn't going to be fun. You know, I was worried about this God idea and, you know, doing God's will, right? Like, I wasn't down with what God wanted me to do. Like, I saw what all the church people were doing, and I was not down with that. That looked like a boring life to me. And it wasn't until I was able to put some time together and see God showing up for me, which is really important that we continue to put time together, because really all I have, more than some of you guys in here, is proof in my life of what God has done and the changes that he's made in my life. And you know what? It's been a lot. In every area that I allow God into my life, he continues to make these insane changes. And that's how we get a life that is greater than anything we would have imagined. You know, I was so worried that I wasn't going to like God's will. So I would be like, you know what, God, you just work on the drugs and alcohol because I cannot handle that. You know what I mean? Like, that was above what I could do. I tried numerous times. I was unsuccessful. And you know what? I was very successful in different areas of my life. I could make good decisions in some of the other areas of my life. But when it came specifically to drugs and alcohol, I was powerless, right? I couldn't stop. I was hopeless. I couldn't stop even if I wanted to. And you know what? Power did not become a problem for me until I actually wanted to stop, right? Because when it was fun to drink, it was fun, and we could continue to drink. And you know what? It probably didn't get in the way of anything for a few years in my life. But the time and place came where I was like, you know what? Drinking is starting to have, like, a negative effect on my life, right? I'm just going to stop. And I realized, like, I couldn't stop. So then I start drinking again, right? And I start using again. And I'm like, you know what? My life's getting really, really bad. I need to stop, right? And every attempt that I made, I was unsuccessful and I couldn't stop. And I would lie to myself, and because I was able to stop for like 30 days, right? I could put some time together for 30 days to show other people that I wasn't an alcoholic. I could make up excuses, right? I've seen a lot of people switch from, like, addiction to addiction, right? So I was, like, able to do that. And so, like, this whole God idea in AA, the reason why it's so important is because I didn't have the power to change my life. I didn't have the power to change who I was and how I was acting, right? For, step six? We're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Do you think I could stop lying on my own? Do you think I could stop cheating on my own? Do you think if for the next week I went outside and was like, you know what, I'm just going to work on being a better person? Do you think I could just do that, right? Like, I can't do that. Every time I would help someone, it was always like I was trying to get something in return, you know? And so it's like, what am I supposed to do if I can't stay sober? What am I supposed to do if my whole life has become surrounded around lying and manipulating and cheating people and just living this way of life, and then on top of that, grabbing a bunch of people to get on the bandwagon with me, right? So that I don't feel alone. Like, what has my life come to? And what am I supposed to do? So if you're new and you're here and you find yourself just in this hopeless state, feeling like you want to stop drinking, but you can't, like, what are we supposed to do, right? We show up to meetings every day. We see all these great people. Like, you know, am I just going to show up to meetings and stay sober? Does it say in the big book, am I going to just show up to meetings and stay sober, right? I took a lot of suggestions, you know. I became very willing to look at someone else with some time, listen to their suggestions, and do as they told me to do, you know. And if I wanted their results, I was going to do every single thing that they told me to do. Like, if you're showing up to AA and going to meetings every day and making coffee and being of service, but you're unwilling to work the steps, don't expect to get the promises in the big book. Don't expect to get the results in your life, right? Like, you can't. It says half measures availed us nothing. If you do half measures, you will get nothing. Okay? Nothing. Don't expect. I'm not kidding. Because I just see, like, so many people putting, like, half-ass into their recovery, you know? Constantly, like, in and out of meetings. Can't stay sober. I'm a chronic relapser. I don't know how to stay sober. And it's like, I had to put 150%. And you know what? When I see a ton of people are outside, like, relapsing around me, because it feels like it happens every 6 months, you know what I do? I put my foot on the gas, right? Like, I'm not just going to sit back and not do anything. If I feel uncomfortable in my own skin, I better put my foot on the gas. Not just, like, slowly, like, slip back into my old ways. And so I came in here and I worked the steps. And, like, step one, right? Like, such a huge portion of the first 104 pages, right? It's like one step and it goes up to page 52, right? Out of our 104 pages. So that's a big portion, right? And it's like, what did I see in step one, right? Like, I have this physical craving. Every time I put drugs or alcohol into my body, I crave more, right? Something happens inside of me and I need more. And here I am back on the mission. And I have this insanity in my brain, right? I have this mental obsession. And for those of you guys who are new, I'm sure it's just like occurring all the time, right? It's constantly trying to screw me. It's telling me that my best solution to life is to go drink, right? Before I put some more time together, I should just bail right now and go drink, right? I better drink before I get 30 days. I don't want to take a 30-day token and then have to take another one. And it's constantly telling me to do the wrong things, right? And it's actually not until step 10 where it tells us that we can start using our brains again. Right? I mean, I couldn't make a right decision to save my life in early recovery. My best idea was to take up smoking, to get into a relationship, and you know what? Every single friend that I pick relapsed. Like, I couldn't pick a friend. I couldn't pick a boyfriend. That boyfriend still calls me from jail, right? Like, I couldn't pick anything. I couldn't do anything, right? And so I come into this program, and it's like, well, what's wrong with me? Don't we need to figure out what's wrong with me before I go out to seek a solution? Like, if you're going to the doctors, you better believe the doctor is going to be like, hey, what's wrong with you? And give me an honest, tell me exactly what's wrong with you so I can give you the proper diagnosis, right? So that I can give you the proper solution to whatever is wrong with you. What do alcoholics and addicts do? You better believe we lie to every doctor about what's wrong with us. Do you think that I have ever marked on that paper that says, how many times do you drink a week? Do you think I ever mark, like, every single day, right? No, I've lied to every single doctor. I knew from an early age not to tell them. And so it was like, what's wrong with me? So we come into Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's like, I need to find out what's wrong with me. And that's exactly what we do in step one, right? Like, you need to go through the book with a sponsor. It's not sufficient to go through the book on your own, right? Go through the book with a sponsor and find out what is wrong with you. And you'll come to see that it's a spiritual malady, right? That I'm a prey to misery and depression. That I'm unhappy. That I can't be useful, right? I can't make a living, right? And these are the bedevilments on page 52, and I take a look at those when I first got sober, and I use those today as a gauge to see, am I in this area, right? At 5 years sober, am I useless to other people, right? Am I at 5 years sober? Can I be of service to other people? Can I make a life worth living, right? And those are the bedevilments. I could always get jobs, but I could never make a life that I actually wanted to live. The life that I have today is greater than anything I could have imagined. God has picked to me and to my family, it was like I was the worst kid ever, right? The one that was never supposed to succeed. The one that was never supposed to be anything. My parents were constantly figuring out, like, what am I supposed to do with her, right? Like, God picked the worst one ever and changed my life so much so that other people that look at my life and know my past and know what I've been through are like, it's nothing short of a miracle. What has happened in her life is nothing short of a miracle. My parents don't really even believe in God, and the only thing that they can say about my life is that God has some favor over me, you know? Because the results that I have today are not normal. You know, I could have not put enough footwork. I couldn't have gone to school enough. I couldn't have worked so hard every single day to get everything that I have today, you know? And you know, like, life does continue to get hard, you know? And God does test me as I continue to move forward, right? But it's like, I have to look at these 5 years of my sobriety and see, one, everywhere that I have let God into my life, he has made it better. So for me to not trust God's will and think that it's okay for me to take back my will in every area of my life is going to be of any help, right? Like, if anywhere that I have let God into, he has made it unbelievably better. And you know what? The last, you know, it was easy for me to let God into, like, my work, right? It was easy to let God into my family. It was really hard for me to let God into my relationship because I did not believe that God was going to deliver what I wanted, right? I felt like God didn't know what I wanted. And he has continued to bless me in every area of my life. I love step two. There's a whole chapter to We Agnostics. I think that's pretty cool, right? I mean, talk about if you walk into the rooms of AA and you have a problem with this whole God idea. Like, can you believe chapter two is all about we agnostics? Like, there's a whole chapter dedicated to people who struggle with the God idea, right? And it's so cool. I love the big book. I love taking women through the steps. I love doing I don't really love doing the steps. I do the steps. When I get, like, desperate enough and in enough pain, I absolutely do the steps. but, you know, like, it's just amazing that every question and answer that I need is in the big book, right? If you're working with someone that struggles with the God idea, like, how amazing is step two, right? These whole ideas of faith and worship that they talk about, right? That's the stuff I heard the church people talking about, you know? And a lot of us didn't want to have anything to do with that. But it's like I had so much faith in myself to succeed and to overcome the addiction. I had so much faith in alcohol to solve my problems, to make me the woman that I wanted to be, to make me funny, to make people like me. I put so much power in alcohol. You know what I mean? It was so easy for me to have faith in, you know, so many other things except this God idea. And you know what? It was even easier for me to worship things, right? It was easy for me to worship my relationship. I could worship money, right? I could worship I worshiped alcohol. I mean, I beat that thing to the death, right? Like, I swore it was going to help me every single time. I even tried relapsing multiple times because I thought this time I could do it differently, right? And that's the insanity in our head. My 5 times relapsing, it was just like, I got to a point on the 6th time that I was trying to get sober, like, listen, my runs just got shorter. It wasn't even worth it. I was depressed for the first 3 weeks of my relapse, and my relapse was over within 2 to 3 months. Like, it just, I was like, listen, that just sucks. It's just, this whole thing sucks, right? And so that's what step two is for, right? Step three, right? God is either going to be everything or he's going to be nothing in my life. I'm not going to half-ass this thing anymore, right? I need help, and I need access to power. I did not have power in my life, and I need power if I'm going to stop drinking and using. That is the purpose of the steps. How do you have access to power? And if you struggle with the God idea, it's talking about the God of our own conception, right? What does that mean exactly? And I take it back to, like, that God that showed up for me when I was drinking and using, right? That God that showed up for me when I was supposed to be in jail, right? When I was supposed to die in that car accident, right? When I wasn't supposed to have all of the chances at getting sober or even be alive today or even have the life that I have today, right? I heard this lady one time share, and she was like, you know, I knew the God of my understanding was when I was drunk, driving drunk in the middle of the night to go get drugs while it was pouring, raining with her kid in the back seat, and someone on the freeway spun out and the car barely missed her, right? Talk about the God of your own understanding. You think that that was just by chance that the car missed her? How many coincidences are we going to look at our life before we're like, you know what? Like, there's something that's watching out for us. There's, like, God has some kind of purpose for all of us to be here tonight and to be sober, you know? He's giving us, like, another chance. And, I want to stay grateful for those chances, and I want to continue to do the steps, and I want to continue to be of service. What does my life look like today, right? I pray and I meditate every single day, right? I'm 5 years sober. I'm not going to stop doing what the steps tell me to do. I still need access to power in my life. And I wake up every single morning, you know, most mornings, actually. And I pray and I meditate, right? Because you know what? There may not be temptation for drugs and alcohol today, but do you think there's going to be temptation for other things? Right? Like, the devil isn't just going to put a bottle of alcohol in my face and think that I'm just going to drink it, right? He has to use some techniques, like really, like, work to get me to that place where I'm going to drink and use, right? I pray and I meditate. I get right with God. It says in the big book that our problem was that we are selfish and self-centered, right? If that is my problem, you better believe every single morning I wake up and I think about myself. Every single morning and what I'm going to do and what my day is going to look like. And it's not until I stop and I take time to restart, right? Get centered with God before I go out from here, right? To do what I need to do today. And, God has continued to show up for me in my life. I had to give up the power of picking a relationship because I sucked. Like, I mean, I think even 4 years into it, I was still picking, like, my picker was broken, right? I would just pick, like, nothing. It was like a miracle, the relationship that I have today. It was like, God was like, all right, Shayna, I hear you. right? And he, like, out of nowhere, when I, like, least expected it, you know, he, like, brought an amazing relationship into my life. And my relationship with my family today has been totally renewed. I used to not even be able to go into my house without getting into a huge fight with my brother. Like, all of that has been removed, right? The woman that I am today is a reflection of who I am on the inside. And the way I treat people is a reflection of who I am on the inside. And what the steps did was give me access to power so that God could change who I was on the inside, right? My thoughts were never right. My heart was never right. And I was constantly focused on if I could just change everything on the outside, I would be okay, right? If I could just get that next promotion, I would be okay. If I could just get that next car in the house, in the relationship, I swear things will get better. And things never got better, right? Things actually didn't get better for me until I was 2 years sober. I worked the steps again, had a thorough experience. It was by the grace of God that I even got out of that first relationship, because my best answer to getting out of that relationship was using and drinking. God totally saved my ass then. And he continues to show up for me every single day. And, you know, I'm super grateful to be sober today. I'm grateful for the people that God has put into my life. And I'm grateful for the people that God has taken out of my life, you know. I can't please everyone, right? Like, I've had a complete psychic change. That is what it says in the big book that we need to recover. And so I hope that if you're new here today, that you find a sponsor, and that you work the steps, and that you have a thorough experience, and that you have access to power, right? And that you continue to do what you need to do every single day. I heard this girl, this gal speaking, and she said, recovery is like being on like an icy mountain, right? If I am just standing still in my recovery, I am actually sliding backwards. And so I want to continue to keep my foot on the gas. And in doing so, I continue to stay grateful. And God continues to put opportunities in my life. And he trusts me with those opportunities, you know. And I have a lot of troubles in my life. And God trusts me to handle those troubles and those sticky situations, right? And so I'm super grateful to be here today. I just thank you for having me share.